You're listening to Yen Sid's Broom Closet, where we sweep out all the dirt on the most magical place on Earth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of Yen Sid's Broom Closet. I'm Matt.
I'm Dez.
I'm Marilyn.
And we're back from Walt Disney World.
Yay!
This episode is recorded on May 28th, 2016. So we've got a lot of news to talk about. This has all happened since we just got back. So, I mean, we just kind of missed a lot of things, which is kind of sad. But that means that the hype will be over when we get back there this fall, and we get to go there without having all sorts of like people
all
in the way.
The crowds.
Yeah. So, well, first let's say the biggest things are probably the openings at Disney Springs and Animal Kingdom. So, Marilyn, I know you're really excited about all the stuff in Disney Springs.
I am. And we actually got a chance to see the new stuff in Disney Springs. They opened up what's called the Town Center, which is where all of that water area that you saw, you may have seen being constructed over time, went in. And that's all open and it's really pretty. Contributes to the lore of Disney Springs, basically the story behind the area. And there are a lot of new shops that have opened up there. There are a lot of, I guess, high-end outlet-type stores that you'd see in an outlet mall or something like that. The architecture is gorgeous. It looks to me sort of like a...
Looks like Italy.
Yeah, like an Italian village. It's really pretty. Lots of marble, lots of bright colored stone, a lot of brick, a lot of fountains.
Yeah, which by the way, we happened to be there during an apparent heat wave, even for that area. But you know what? It apparently rained for the entire week after we left, so
good
I guess
timing.
I'll take it, yeah. But, you know, I think it's so funny. We were on the bus heading to Disney Springs. Marilyn, you were already there, or you were meeting us there, I think. And
oh, right. I was with Tracy.
Yes. So, basically, we're on the bus heading to Disney Springs, and they're playing the new announcements for what you're about to experience. And it says, the natural springs first attracted people to this area. I'm like, you just built them 2 weeks ago. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was funny.
So I mean, it's hilarious. But you know, they've got a whole backstory to everything, and I'll give them credit for that. But it's just so funny. These natural springs, it was like, there's nothing natural about it. I saw the photographs. You built them two weeks ago.
You built them and you filled them with water yourselves.
But they look fabulous.
They look fabulous, and you have a really good view of them just outside Morimoto, which we'll get to later. We're gonna talk about our dining experiences from this trip. We're gonna split this up over. I should probably explain this to everybody. We're not gonna do our normal breakdown for the next couple episodes, this one included, because we have so much to tell you from our trip to Disney that it just wouldn't work right, and we don't want to chew your ear off for, you know, like 3 hours at a time. I know you like to hear us, but not that much, because. I can't talk
about
that
long. Guys saying, you guys are boring and shutting us off. So.
Yeah. As they... I just heard the click. They're all just shut us off.
No.
Well, good. That means we can talk about whatever we want.
Yeah. Pour me another glass of wine. No.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. So, anyway.
There's a lot of new restaurants and stuff that have opened up there, too. The Aristo Crepes is open. The
Poutine.
Wolf Sausage. Yeah, the Poutine place.
Deluxe Burger.
STK.
Just opened. Again, Matt said we'll get to Morimoto when we get to our review section.
Yeah, I mean that's
fabulous.
Been open now for a little bit, but oh my god, it was just the
yummy
decor.
All
it's
of the
unbelievable. Yeah, and then
what else was the other restaurant? Oh, the sausage company, the BB Wolf sausage company.
Yeah,
you just mentioned
yeah.
Sprinkles.
Yes, that's
the cupcake
one.
Place.
They opened the week that we were there. Actually,
apparently they had a really, really, really large turnout.
Oh yes,
yeah,
it was a very large
line
turnout.
Was around the building.
Yeah.
And also the patisserie just opened up too. I forget the name of it. It begins with an A. I can't pronounce it because it's French and my French is terrible, and I apologize for that. I have to look it up, but it's another bakery type place with very, it looks like really fancy high end Mickey. I saw a couple Mickey pastries that were like chocolate domes with little swirls of chocolate on top and shavings of white chocolate, and then there was a fruit tart with a Mickey head on it, and it's all sorts of, it's beautiful stuff.
It's Amorette's Patisserie.
Thank you, that's it.
Amorette's. I was going to say, it was something like Amaretto, but not
that. That's what
not
I was
going to
say.
Close, it's Amorette's Patisserie, and that opened on May 15th.
Okay.
And that was right while we were there. But, you know, we didn't get to visit everything we wanted to. I mean, we were running around so much.
It was so
hot. I mean, we wanted to go into the ganachery, but I mean, it was so hot that literally if you were to walk out with anything, it'd be a puddle in a second.
Yeah, it would melt.
I mean, to give you guys a for instance, I mean, you know how much we discuss food and the beverages and things, and I was looking very much forward to having several of the beer flights available and things, and I had literally one beer flight, and that was not too late in the day, and it started to get very warm very quickly. I had another beer later around the height of the day, and it was so warm that this ice cold beer was literally warm garbage within the matter of a few minutes. So it just didn't work out. We had to skip a few things, unfortunately, but we'll be back in fall and it'll be nicer. So.
And it'll be food and wine.
It will be. Yeah, so, I mean, there's just literally all the openings at Disney Springs. I mean, we could probably take an hour to list everything that's opened recently or will be opening shortly, but there's a number of new shops. The high-end shopping, they're definitely appealing to the locals. Something I noticed in Central Florida is they really love their outlet malls and things like that. There's a lot
they're
of them
everywhere.
Around, especially on I-4, heading to 195, or I-95, rather. And like we've always said, people are going to want to shop, so this is what Disney does. You keep them on property.
Yep. Yeah. And I think they're trying to compete directly with Universal City Walk because they have a lot of, they have not as high end as these, but they have a lot of clothing stores, a lot of trendy shops. I think they're trying to keep people, like Matt said, on property because if you're off property, you're not spending money.
That's right. I mean, and the thing is, Disney has never allowed anyone to one-up them. I mean, right when Universal Studios opened or was about to open, of course, we had Hollywood Studios going in as well because they're like, no, well, why is someone doing that? We have to do it first and better. So, I mean, Universal has City Walk, plus there's all the off-site shopping. So Disney says, well, here we go.
Des, they should put Character Warehouse at Disney Springs.
They should, but then everyone would go there and just buy all this stuff
That's
instead
true,
of
though.
Buying stuff at World of Disney for full price.
That's
and
a good point.
And you'd never be able to get anything, you know, there again. It'd right. either be marked up or sold out.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's no point. But anyway, so you had all those openings at Disney Springs. So there's also big openings in Animal Kingdom, and that's Dez's favorite park.
Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Animal Kingdom, my favorite park. And I made sure to get lots of pictures in Animal Kingdom when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Tiffin's is
that,
soft opened, right?
Yep, I was just about to say that Tiffin's and Nomad Lounge just had a soft opening.
Well, I see, I forgot about Nomad Lounge.
You forgot the bar.
How could you forget the bar?
Because I'm all about the food.
Turn in your card.
Because I could get all that bar stuff at the restaurant.
What?
Tiffin's like
restaurant is a new, I don't even know where that is because I was looking for that when we were there. I know it's on Discovery Island, which is the main section where the tree is, but I have no idea.
There was a small part that had walls up, but I don't know.
Oh, maybe that was it.
But it's towards Flame Tree, so I don't know if that's where it was going.
I don't know. It's like the mysterious restaurant that we don't know, but it's basically it's
a
going
mysterious
to be
restaurant.
It's going to be a 2-credit dining, a signature dining experience. If you're on the dining plan, it's 2 credits.
You got to know someone to get in. That's why.
That's right. You got to grease somebody's palm.
You got to have coops.
Coops. It's in the Discovery Island area.
So honestly, we can't tell you where because we have no idea.
We walked right by it, but had no idea. Yeah, but it's in the Discovery Island area. And, you know, we've reported on this before, but the menu is inspired by, you know, the world travels of the park creators.
It looks like a cool menu. The menu's online now. You can find it. It's got some really interesting stuff. octopus and more of the... It's kind of like Skipper Canteen bumped up a notch. It's got a lot of really interesting spice palettes and seafood. It's crazy. Go check it out.
Yeah. And, you can do that literally right now. It opened yesterday and is open for Disney dining reservations. So get your ADRs in and make sure you check this place out if you're down with the two credit or signature dining.
And let us know how it is.
Yeah.
Also, Tiffin's is part of, we'll get to this in a minute. There's a dining, you know how Fantasmic has the dining package over in Hollywood Studios where if you book a restaurant and then you can get Fantasmic seats.
Fantastic seats.
They're doing the same thing with the Animal Kingdom show, which is not Rivers of Light, which they has been inexplicably delayed and very hush-hush about it. I spoke to a cast member.
They seem to be having some real trouble.
I don't know what's going on, but the cast member that I spoke to said that they're, again, everything's rumor. We're not corroborating anything. Basically said that it did not test well with audiences, and they wanted to tweak some things, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, so they have the dining packages available for both Tiffin's and Tusker House.
Yes.
We were interested in doing that for our fall trip, but apparently it only extends until September or some point, mid-September.
Right.
And then it shuts down again. I looked at the My Disney Experience app and I was checking park times. And, Animal Kingdom is now open till 11 o'clock.
Oh,
but
awesome.
They only have those hours posted up through while they have this dining package available as well. Because I checked out when we're going back, Des and I, in October. And, it's back to 5 or 6 o'clock.
That's actually not uncommon because they do the same for Fantasmic. Even though we know Hollywood Studios isn't going anywhere, they will only list the Fantasmic dinner times out for a few certain months. So hopefully that will extend sometime next month and we'll be able to look a little bit further out.
That's right. Well, Des, you've got more information on all the nighttime spectacular, right?
Yeah, I have a little bit of info. So since Rivers of Light is on hold, they have decided to go ahead with this Jungle Book Alive with Magic nighttime show on the water, which I'm also hearing is not getting the best reviews, surprisingly. I mean, I still think it looks neat anyway. But it's just, it's a show on the water. They have these beautiful little floats that come out with little lotus flowers, and they have this beautiful water screen that's a lot better than Fantasmic's. And it shows, like, just random nature-y things relating to Jungle Book on it. That's what I'm getting from it anyway. But what I'm hearing, it's not going over the greatest. But, I mean, if I was there and I saw it, I'd be like, oh, my God, this is awesome! But
yeah, I saw on one of the blogs today from DVC members, one of the people happened to catch the opening for this late night stuff the other night, and they liked the tree being lit. They thought that the Jungle Book thing was a bit confusing.
It looked like a combination of like Bollywood dancing, and which is fine because it's Indian, but I don't know. I've heard mixed reviews.
Right. Well, I'm backtracking a second because you mentioned something over at Hollywood Studios. I don't want to forget this with our news. The Star Wars Galactic Spectacular, that's set to open June 17th.
Yay!
That's when they're doing, like, right now they have the Star Wars Symphony in the Sky fireworks, which is outrageous, by the way.
Oh, amazing.
They're apparently kicking it up a notch with this Galactic Spectacular. And they're going to be illuminating things on Hollywood Boulevard.
You have to talk about how we felt the fireworks at the hotel.
Okay, yes.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, because I know we're getting a little off track, but if we don't, we're going to miss. So we had a balcony, I mean, every room we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge Kidani. And we happened to face toward Hollywood Studios. Now, it's not close to where Kidani is.
No, not at all.
But close enough that we could see the fireworks go off, and there was like a 30-second delay or more because of the distance. And so we saw the finale, which they use these very thunderous charges. I don't know what they'd be called. I'm sure there's a term for them. Anyone who's got
the
fireworks experience. These are the ones that really thud in your chest.
Yeah.
And they all go off at once at the very end of the finale. So we watch it, and then we're like, oh, that's cool. And we're about to just, like, turn around and go back inside when all of a sudden it's...
It was crazy.
And it was loud.
Oh, my. It was loud all the way at Kidani. So the animals didn't seem to care, by the way, because, you know, we had animals down below us, and we're looking at them, and they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. They're used to it, I guess. I mean, it's interesting.
The birds all stopped, but that was it. The other animals were like, eh.
Well, the funny thing is the birds that stopped were the wild ones. We had, you know, some... I looked up what they were. Cooper's Widow's Will. Cooper's Widow Wills. That's what they are. They're related to whippoorwills.
Okay.
And they're making cool sounds outside in the trees beyond the fence line.
But we could see not only the Hollywood Studios fireworks, we could catch a glimpse of Illuminations and Wishes.
We could see Wishes all the way from... Yeah.
Yeah.
That was nuts. We were on the top floor, by the way.
We were on the top floor, and we were facing kind of northeast.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we saw all three fireworks shows in a row from our balcony, and that was pretty darn neat.
That was neat. Yeah. I was very impressed with that. But anyway.
But and we saw the Star Wars fireworks at the park as well, at Hollywood Studios, and to see them right there in person... I mean, you think it's loud from the hotel. Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy from when you're in there in person, but it's really impressive.
Quite the concussion from those. You feel them. And it fits the theming that you know, that they're doing with the power and energy of the series and the
Star Wars movies, yep.
Yeah. So It's definitely something to see, but we'll do another episode that has all of our park experiences on it. But so let's get through the rest of this news. Soarin' is now reopening, or has reopened actually, earlier than expected because they decided to give fans a last
farewell tour of the original
Original film. So you get to see the original film until the new Soarin' debuts. Which a lot of people are very happy about this. I know I would have liked to do it, but of course they opened it for that for the week after we left.
Of course.
Yeah.
That seems to be the going thing here.
Yeah, so, you know, we can't win them all.
There was also some possible leaked footage online. You can probably find it unless it's been yanked by Disney, of the Soarin' Around the World video. There was a scene I saw of the Great Wall of China, Sydney Harbor in Australia, running animals over the savannas of Africa. It looks really, really beautiful. And I think with the upgraded digitalized version, it's going to be absolutely spectacular. So
yeah, they upgraded to new IMAX laser projectors, so they're going to be like ultra HD. And that was actually my biggest complaint with the original Soarin' was, you know, after it had opened, you know, it was great, but for so long it was, I mean, I'm looking at it.
You still felt like you were watching a movie.
A movie, yeah. Exactly. So this is going to be quite the upgrade. I know some people were complaining about the movies that they were seeing, you know, that was leaked, but there's no actual telling that those are the real movies.
Right, exactly.
And at the same time, they're not seeing them in immersive IMAX lasers.
It's going to look so real. It's going to be so cool.
It's going to be neat. But so the original film is playing through June 16th, and then on June 17th, everything flips over to the new Soarin' Around the World. So... get excited for that.
That's in Disneyland too, if anybody's interested.
Yes,
so.
It is. That it will be. I don't have the dates for Disneyland.
No.
Well, maybe there'll actually be a line for that one in Disneyland now.
You're right.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean,
they're
well,
so spoiled out there.
They
all
are.
Their rides are like, oh, I'll just get on.
Yeah.
Even Toy Story. Speaking of Toy Story Mania.
Nice segue.
Oh, I just thought of that.
Yeah, you didn't mean that.
I didn't actually. I saw there's an article that is online that cracked me up. The title said, "The end of soul-crushing wait times for Toy Story Mania have ended because Hollywood Studios has opened the third track on the ride."
Yeah, something that actually opened also
right after we left. And apparently it's been getting great reviews. The wait times have been cut in half. And
that's fantastic. So, I mean, you still might be in for a 45-minute wait time, but think about what it would have been otherwise.
It was like, 200 minutes.
Yeah, it was like 90-something minutes. Yeah. Automatically. 200 minutes sometimes. Yeah.
Automatically.
So this is going to help that in a great deal, and also...
I'm sure that'll increase the availability of fast passes too.
That too.
Because the thing is, if there's three tracks, that means they can add that many more people per hour, which means that there's more fast passes available. I would figure. I'm hoping.
So now you don't have to make a mad dash for Toy Story when the park opens, or if you have a fast pass, that's fine. But now you don't have to wait in the line for 112 years.
Yeah. And over at Epcot, we have, of course, finally an opening date for Frozen Ever After. This is the revamping of Maelstrom and the Spirit of Norway. Now, they did keep some interesting things from that ride and pavilion. The Runestone is still out there. We did see that.
Yeah.
And so that's nice.
And they still have the big troll guy inside.
They do still have the big troll.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. Dad took pictures with him.
Oh, that guy. Yes.
The big. Yeah. Oh, no. Not the ones from the ride.
I was supposed to say the ride guy?
Yeah, because there's a couple kind of trolls on the ride, and that would be cool to have them scattered around. Right? That would be really
neat.
And
the big polar bear.
Yeah. Just put that somewhere. But anyway.
And I think the boats are the same. I think they just refurbished them and brought them back because they're the same. The Viking boats, somebody saw them on the highway being brought back over.
That happens
and
a lot.
And I think it's the same boats, which is a nice touch to the old ride. So.
Well, I mean, they just basically, of course, it's going to be the same boats because they've already been fit for the track and everything.
Right,
so.
Right.
But that's set to open in Epcot, of course, June 21st of this year.
And I think, is their meet and greet opening the same day?
The Royal Summer House.
The whole shebang is open.
Yeah, it's all going to be open. So that's the Royal Summerhus.
Summerhus.
Summerhus. Summerhus. it's going to expand the Norway Pavilion and be the charming setting for the meet and greet with Anna and Elsa. It's charming, according to them. I'll be the judge of that.
And with them going in there, they are being removed from Princess Fairytale Hall in Magic Kingdom. They will no longer be there, and instead they are going to take Cinderella and Rapunzel will each get their own side now for a meet and greet, and they will rotate the other princesses in and out schedule.
Which I think is stupid.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Because you're taking these two princesses that always have a really, 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 did I say really enough? Long line. And you're putting them back into Epcot where there's going to be a really, 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 really,
right.
really long line. Stupid. Have them in both spots.
Yeah.
Cut down on lines.
Yeah.
Hi, Disney. Take a note.
Dear Walt. Yeah.
Cut down on the lines.
So who wants to know what actually the Frozen After ride is going to entail? Well, anyone?
Me.
Does anyone want to know?
I can guess.
No.
Elsa's going to be singing and throwing things around. And
no?
No?
Well, yeah, there's going to be singing, but not throwing things around. No tantrums. Maybe a couple. I don't know. Oh. Anyway, so Frozen Ever After takes place in the happily ever after time following Frozen. Elsa has embraced her magical powers. This is quoting, by the way. Has embraced her magical powers and created a winter in summer day for everyone to experience. After visiting Elsa's ice palace and the ice blue world of the North Mountain, guests will return to the Bay of Arendelle to see some of their favorite Frozen characters, including the Snowgies.
Yay, I love the Snowgies.
From the animated short Frozen Fever, which if you haven't seen, watch it. It's funny because Dry Banana Hippie Hat.
Is Fridge going to be there?
Fridge and Flurry.
And Flurry. And William.
And William. Guests will then find themselves immersed in many of their favorite moments and music from the film, including Elsa singing Let It Go from a balcony.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course.
Yep, so all this set to open on June 21st. Let's see. The Stave Church, by the way, was closed for refurbishment. I think it reopened today. That's just because it was being refurbished. It just needed a facelift. So that's done. Also, while we're at Epcot, the Tomb of the Warriors exhibit is closed for refurbishment. That closed early this month. It'll be closed until June 16th, just so you know if you're planning a trip.
And
now.
The bathrooms are already
Japan,
open,
right?
In Norway,
or China?
Too.
China.
That's China. China. Yeah.
That's actually a really cool exhibit. If you haven't had a chance to go see that, I highly suggest it. It's those sandstone statues of an army. It's really, they're beautiful. So if you are looking for something to do to get out of the heat, go over to China and check out that exhibit. It is really neat.
Yeah.
And I just made a rhyme. That was dumb. Anyway.
The expansive store in China, by the way, is like...
Oh, yeah.
A godsend. Because I was starting to really feel the heat at one point there. And I'm like, I got to go into China Pavilion, like, now. And I go all the way into the back corner, and there's like, this little area near some, like, panda dolls and things. And on the wall
and
is...
cups that don't have my name on.
Right, cups that don't have...
Mine either.
Don't have a lot of normal names on them, but they have a lot of odd names on them. And I don't mean like foreign odd, like just names that you just wouldn't otherwise think. I'm not going to spit any out because someone's going to be listening to this and be like, hey.
My name.
But, you know, that's a nice place to just kind of sit down and not.
Catch your breath and sort of get a little out of the heat for a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
Not heat stroke.
Right.
Interestingly enough, actually, you know how you can go to any of the stands that have a water tap? You know, usually they have a soda tap or whatnot, and you can ask for a cup of water. I did this at both China and Japan pavilions, and both sets of cast members working them kind of gave me a blank stare and had no idea what I was talking about. Like, oh, we don't have that. I'm like looking right at the soda machine. I'm like, it's right there. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to argue. I just went somewhere else and got a water.
No, I think you're right, because I went up to the China pavilion, the booth for the flower and garden for the food. And I said, I want to switch my quick serve over to three snacks. And they were like, they looked at me like I had three heads. They were like, and then she goes, I don't think you can do that. And I'm like, well, yeah, I can, but obviously you're not going to do it for me, so forget it.
Yeah.
But
so I noticed something with the cultural exchange, at least for the cast members we were rolled with at that point in time in those pavilions. They seem to not be up on what everything Disney is.
Yeah.
That they're, you
and
know,
we're not,
supposed
we're
to be
not
doing.
Casting any dispersions on anyone, you know, we're just saying.
No, it's just
that happened to be those two pavilions, yeah.
Yeah, it's, because trust me, we were drinking a lot of water that day.
Did you get water other places?
Most places, oh, okay. Actually. That's the thing. We were drinking a lot of water between myself, Dez, my father. You know, we were getting a lot of water in lots of places, pretty much almost every pavilion.
Okay, that's cool.
And I say almost every pavilion because we couldn't get in China and Japan. Yeah. So
maybe it's a cultural thing with them. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, I that is kind of odd.
Yeah. So but that's just try it. See what happens. Let me know, because I'd be interested to know if maybe this is just you have a problem getting certain things in some of these pavilions. They just don't, they're not trained for it, or I don't know. Perhaps there's a, you know, language gap. I'm not sure. But
I did get kakigori, which was really good.
Kakigori?
That was the shaved ice from Japan.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a really big snow cone, but I guess they have these special syrup things that they make in Japan, and you can get different flavors, and they're really good. It was very refreshing.
It's very similar to Hawaiian shaved ice, right?
Yes, yes. Which is actually probably where it came from.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm not sure which direction.
It came first.
because there's some things that have been imported to America from Japan, and some things have been imported to Japan from America, specifically also from Hawaii.
Right.
The interesting thing is a lot of people think hibachi is Japanese food, by the way. It is not Japanese food. It's an Americanization of Japanese food that was then exported back to Japan.
They actually like it over there?
They like it over there. They eat it, but to them, it's more American food than it is Japanese food.
How
yeah,
funny.
So it's funny. It's very, very interesting, the cultural differences. But we all have the meeting point of, it's delicious.
Yes.
Yeah, so, all right. So next on our news list here is the Wilderness Lodge Villas has now been renamed. They will henceforth with be known as the Villas at Boulder Ridge.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
I guess that's because they're building all those cabins. There's Wilderness Lodge is still under construction as they take a page from the Polynesian and are building cabins on the water for, which I guess are supposed to sort of be like the bungalows. I saw a bit of it on from the monorail, actually, as we were going by. And they are busy at work over there. But, I'm not sure why the villa's got a new name, but hey.
It's
just, there you go.
Just more theming. So let's see. Just to wrap up the rest of our news here, DVC Lounge is opening June 6th in the Imagination Pavilion. And also, while we're at Epcot there again, Dinosaurs closing July 25th. No, June 25th.
That's Animal Kingdom, though.
Yeah, that's right. This is what happens when I scribble on a piece of paper. I have everything kind of crossing out. No, that's July 25th, and that is Animal Kingdom. Dinosaurs closing July 25th for 2 months for renovations. And let's see, what other news do we have? Des, I think you've got that last one there. It's for the
Fast Passes,
yeah.
Fast Pass window now is, well, not window, but the Fast Pass, you used to be able to book them online through My Disney Experience starting up midnight.
Right after the park closed.
Right after the park closed, pretty much. But now they have changed it to, I believe, 7 a.m.?
Right, that's more in line with everything
with
else.
With the dining, yeah.
Yeah,
because
it's more fair.
They were having problems to where some people couldn't book their Fast Passes and there was no one there that they could call to talk to about it and fix it and all that stuff. So,
oh dear.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I get that because you get people who are booking from, like, you know, West Coast or wherever else on whatever area of the country. And for us here on the East Coast, yeah, okay, 12 o'clock, that's fine. But 12 o'clock, our time is different times for other people. And, you know, it's a mess. Just it's good to standardize things. And 7 a.m., I get, of course, that still sucks for the people over on the West Coast because our 7 a.m., you know, they got to get up in the middle of the night.
I also think it was because a lot of times it was for the closing of the Magic Kingdom was what signaled the Fast Pass reservation opening.
Right, the reset.
And I think with the Magic Kingdom opening, like, one night they're open till 1, one night they're open till 2, one night they're open till 11. I mean, it was so all over the place that I have a feeling that that was another contributing factor to making it standardized, which is fine.
Yeah. Well, interesting note we did report on the last time was that they had gotten rid of the second tap for FastPass lines. We can confirm that. We had gone through most of our various lines without a second tap. The exception was high-demand rides that have a high opportunity for line jumpers. So there was,
oh, really?
I think there were two that you
Mine
still had the second
tap. Mine Train's
gotta
be one of them.
Mine Train was one of them, I believe.
Tower of Terror
was the other one. Yeah. I think that was it, because I don't think Eververse did it anymore.
Haunted Mansion took theirs out. That I noticed.
Yeah. So yeah, there's going to be a couple scattered around. It depends on what you're riding. I don't know. We didn't go on everything, so we couldn't tell you everything. But they did take the second tap out, and didn't seem to be any problems. But then again, we also seem to luck out with the crowds. I mean, the first day we arrived, we walked into Magic Kingdom. I literally stopped looking around and said, Where is everybody?
No, it was crazy. I'm like, this is great.
I mean, we've been there with, I mean, of course it's Disney. There's always crowds. So I'm not saying there was literally nobody there, but there was nobody there for what you would otherwise expect. And I'm used to a lot more people. So, all right. So I think that rounds out our news for today. If we missed anything, we'll try and pick it up again on the next episode, which we'll try and get out, I think, for
in the next couple weeks.
Well, definitely. I'm hoping for next week because since we're not since we're doing a wrap up, I want to not stretch
right.
this out too long for everybody, so everyone can kind of have a nice congruent thing. But so let's talk about our Disney trip specifically. One of the most exciting things that we had been looking forward to, and as everyone who's been listening to us at this point, up to this point, certainly knows, is that we love our dining options, and oh boy, did we make use of them. So, dining experiences.
Okay, I have to... Skipper Canteen is so much fun. If you have the chance to go to Skipper Canteen in the Magic Kingdom, it's the new restaurant across from the Swiss Family Treehouse.
Yes.
And it's right next to Sunshine Tree Terrace, where you get the citrus swirls. It is so much fun. The cast members there, the servers, tell the same bad jokes as the crew captains on the Jungle Cruise ride.
Yeah.
They are so funny. Our waiter,
we
were seated at our table, and our server walked by and goes, "Oh, I'll be with you eventually," and kept on walking. We're like, okay then.
He is hilarious.
He was so funny.
We traded so many jokes back and forth.
He was great.
I think he genuinely had a great time too. He learned a couple new ones from me. I'm not going to share anything on the air either, because probably not appropriate, but I know at least one of them not appropriate, but anyway, I think actually not just dollar for dollar but overall experience, and we did some really good dining. And don't get me wrong, this is not to detract from any of the others that we're going to get to. Skipper Canteen was my favorite.
The food was great, and I don't see, well, I can see why people are complaining, those who aren't adventurous, but The food was fantastic. Yeah. It really was.
Now, we did talk to some cast members about that menu changing, and as of now, just rumors.
Yes, so hopefully that stays.
Yeah, that's just rumors, and they themselves are not thinking that it is actually going to change. So keep your fingers crossed, foodies.
And as of right now, Skipper Canteen is still only reserved the day of. You cannot go online and reserve it months in advance. You can, but you can wake up early in the morning on the day you want to go, get on your MDE on your phone, and book it. We did that, and it turns out Matt and I did it at the same time.
Yeah, it's really
and
funny.
Didn't know.
So then I then had to call Disney Dining because it was less than 24 hours to the visit, and I couldn't cancel it from MDE. So I had to call and be like, I made an oopsie because we both booked it at the same time, and I didn't know that. Yeah, so they canceled it. They were very good about it, so that's fine.
But definitely add it to your list. It's a lot of fun. They do have kids' menus for the picky eaters. And you can always find something, you know, they'll always make you something that you can eat. So that was the cat. So basically, yeah, definitely do it. It's even fun for the shtick that they do. So definitely go.
Yeah. That was definitely my top meal. But I think the finest dining meal, and as it should have been, the finest dining meal.
This was Dez's favorite.
California Grill.
Yeah, surprisingly, it was my favorite. It was California Grill.
And you had what?
I had the steak.
Yeah. Now, if any those of you who listen who know Dez, there's a few of you out there. Dez did not have the chicken.
Dez had the steak.
She had the steak.
Yeah, my known quote is, I'll have the chicken. And I had the filet, and they did modify it a little bit because there was some stuff on it that I did not want to eat.
Yeah.
But it was very, very good. Very, very good.
The food was fantastic. I had some kind of scallop dish with like a
duck,
corn.
And there was a duck confit.
Oh, my God. It was like let's give all Maryland favorite foods in one dish. Okay. All I needed was a lamb garnish, and I would have been fine. But it was really fantastic. And that was my birthday dinner, so that was a lot of fun. They brought me a little, for dessert, a happy birthday from California Grill, which was made out of chocolate, by the way. I mean, they're really amazing. And we got to sit right by the window and watch Wishes.
We did. We got to see Wishes. We got to see Celebrate the Magic, although they don't pipe the music in for that part.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, really, really neat. So our first night there, this has kind of become a bit of a tradition, although we're going to break that tradition now because, you know, we've done it three times in a row. Ohana. Ohana's changed their menu back and forth a few times over the last couple of years between chicken and pork and lettuce wraps and things like that. So the menu right now, there's no more lettuce wraps. Brought back the chicken wings, which were very good. And there's no pork on the menu. They brought back the barbecued chicken.
And it was so good.
And now, for those of you who haven't been, Ohana is served kind of like a Brazilian steakhouse. It's all you care to eat. And the food is cooked on an open oak-fired grill that is centered in the middle of the dining room. So, you know, you kind of have a dinner and a show. And, you know, they have this whole, of course, Polynesian theme since it's in the middle of, you know, the Polynesian. I know it's a stretch. you know, so this is important. Everyone calls you cousin. And
Auntie roams around with her ukulele.
And my father was confused. He says, why is this guy keep calling me cuz? Why is he? that's a Hawaiian culture thing. Everyone is a cousin. So don't be confused when someone comes up. What's up, cuz? And it's not like street talk or something. That's the way it works. And the food was delicious. And interestingly enough, in our opinion, most of our opinion anyway, the best part of the main meal was, interestingly, the chicken.
And I am stunned because normally I'm like, oh, I like chicken. You know, I can take it or leave it. But it's not in a setting like that where there are so many other options. It's not the first thing I go for. This time, it was good.
Yeah, I mean, between the marinade that they were using on it and the oak smoke, I mean,
that was good.
That was really it. And of course, I had the obligatory lapu lapu. That was delicious.
Yeah, I tried a new drink this time. The Island Sunset was very good.
Every drink over there is
here we
very
go.
Good.
And speaking of drinks and the Polynesian, you have to try Trader Sam's.
Oh my goodness, it was so much fun.
Oh, so we say how Skipper Canteen is so much fun because they sass you and you know, that have a lot of shtick humor. Well, this carries over to Trader Sam's. Okay, so the first thing that happens is very important if you intend to go. It opens at 4 o'clock. We didn't realize this. We should have known this, especially since we report on this silly thing. But anyway, it opens at 4 o'clock. So your best bet is get to the resort, be at the door for Trader Sam's by 3:30, if not earlier. There will be a cast member there taking names and giving out buzzers. Okay, make sure you're on that first row, because otherwise it's first,
like, immediately, yeah, a 45-minute wait.
It's a first-come, first-serve, and if you're not on that first seating, you get sat in the order that you came in as people leave.
And I think I heard her say to somebody who came up on that second row, it's an hour and a half.
Yep.
So, yeah.
We were sat in there, didn't even have our drinks yet, okay? And someone, you know, we heard someone outside the door as they opened the door saying that, oh, it's an hour and a half now. And people are getting their names on there, and this place is full all evening. So, but it's definitely worth it. So let's first talk about what kind of things you get there, and then we'll talk about the awesomeness that it is. So it is a bar. There is no dining plan option here. So you can get all sorts of mixed drinks. They have all their specialty drinks, which include you can get souvenir cups or without. So they have their main drinks. You have a hippopotamus Mai Tai. You had Nautilus. You had help me out,
the
guys.
The Polynesian Pearl.
Right.
The Uh-Oa. The Zombie Head.
Yeah.
And there was the Spiked Pineapple.
Right.
A Krakatoa.
The Krakatoa Punch.
So of those, that the Mai Tai, the Pearl, the Nautilus, and the Uh-Oa all have a souvenir glass.
So does the Zombie and the Krakatoa.
They do? Yep. Okay, yeah, I didn't.
Everything has them, actually, except for the... Oh, the Rum Flight has them, too. You just don't get the little surfboard they come on. So everything has them except for, like, regular bar drinks or margaritas, that kind of stuff. Doesn't have anything.
So you can get them with the souvenir cup.
And which, of course, we did.
Yeah, which, if you're into that, definitely. If you don't want them, it takes like a couple dollars off, and you can get it without. So Des and I each had the same drink, and so there's no point in us having two of the same cup. We just got one with and one without. But so you could do that, and they have small plates. Now, these small plates are very interestingly designed. They're not quite as adventurous as Skipper Canteen, but along the same flavor guidelines. So, you know, it's a great place to drop by for late afternoon snack or just having nice snacks with your bar drinks. So, all right, Des is like clawing at herself here. She's dying to talk about, the theming. So go.
All right. So you go into Trader Sam's, you sit down, and there's different spots to sit. You can sit at the bar. There's also another table where you can sit. There's a few. You mingle with people at this. There's not like separate tables where you can just sit with just your party.
It's possible.
It's possible.
But it's communal seating and it's first come, first serve, which means if there's not enough seats, you may be standing or floating around.
Right.
And they only let 45 people in at a time.
Yes. And it's very dimly lit in there. So we were trying to record stuff and it was a little dark. But anyway. We sat at the table that had this, looked like a surfboard for a table, and then there's also another spot. There's another spot that you can sit, and you can sit like in the corner, or you can sit in another corner, and there's like another spot in the middle, I believe, that you can sit. Should I talk about the chairs?
That's part of the charm.
Of course.
I don't know. We hadn't heard about this before. And I don't know if this is a spoiler or not.
Well, I'm giving it away. It's a spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear it, fast forward. there are chairs. There are random chairs. I'm not going to tell you which ones. That will, over the time that you're sitting there drinking your drink, or waiting for your drink, in my case, that you start to shrink.
I was sitting there, and I'm looking over. Des was across from me. And all of a sudden, I look over at Des, and all I can see are like her shoulders and her head. And I'm like, what the heck just happened? And Des is like,
I was like, my chair shrank.
Yeah, no, mind you, we're sitting at this table that's a long surfboard-shaped table. Mm-hmm. and we're at like basically bar stools, and there's a row on one side and a row on the other side, and there's some ladies sitting to the left of us, well, my left anyway, I guess it'd be Dez's right because she's facing across from me, and so we're at one end and they're at the other end, and you know, just we're sitting there waiting, and Dez, it's like she's got this look on her face like something's happening, like she's like, was this chair?
I'm sitting there and I'm like, I know I've been out in the heat for so many hours today, but I know this chair was taller when I first sat down. And so I'm sitting there, and as it's going on, and by the time I get my drink to the table, I'm like face to the bar. I can't even reach my drink to drink
right
it.
Level with the bar.
So the
so the server comes over. He goes, "What did you do?" I said, "I didn't do anything."
He said, "You broke it."
I didn't break anything. And I was like, "Sure, you know, just pick on the short person because I'm already short as it is." And then I was like, "I'm going to need a couple more straws." And so he goes back over to the bar. He grabs more straws, and we're putting straws and straws to try to make like a siphon down to my face.
Like a giant super straw.
It was awesome.
Long story short, it didn't work. Yeah. So then I was like, all right, this is obviously not working. So I stood up, and eventually, like, it took a few minutes, but the chair does come back up.
Yeah. From what I understand,
I think they said
it's
8 minutes.
Like an 8 minute reset. Yeah.
Something like
but
that.
But then as soon as Dez's chair came back up, one of the other ladies
one
at the table's bar
started
going down.
Started going down.
And there's some at the main bar, too. We're not going to tell you which ones. You got to find them out for yourself. But there's some at the surfboard table and some at the bar.
I couldn't tell you which ones if I wanted to. I only know of two of them. I'm still not telling you. And the fact of the matter is, I couldn't point it out to you because, well, this is a podcast.
I'll tell you, look, it's this one and that
one
over there.
Oh, and don't forget the other one.
And don't forget that one over there.
Yeah.
So there you go. Now I know where they are.
So anytime... go ahead. No, please.
What I was going to say, what's even more fun is each drink has kind of a theme.
That's funny. I was just going there.
Okay, I'm sorry. Each drink has a theme, and every time somebody orders one, the servers do a little, skit, I guess, with each drink that comes out. For example...
But the room itself reacts, too.
Right. Anyone who's ever been to the Tiki Room, it looks a lot like that. The windows are the same with the volcanoes outside and the weather
water
changes.
The mountains. Right. Yeah. Now these are all digital now. It's like they have TV screens, something behind the shutters there. So everything is all digitally controlled. It's really interesting. The lighting will change. For instance, when someone orders a Nautilus, this was the first thing we experienced. The whole room gets like this blue hue with wavy lines running through it, and everything turns blue. And the bartenders put on swimmies
and goggles
and a little inner tube, the little horsey inner tube, you know,
so
that's
funny.
So stereotypical. And so dive. And then they picked up a spray bottle and started spraying everybody and a bubble shooter and said, "The backside of water,"
which is from the ride. Right. So, the Jungle Cruise ride.
Right.
And you look like you're underwater because it looks like you're in like a pool. Like when you're a kid, you swim to the bottom of the pool and you look around and all you see are wavy lines from the sun or whatever. It looks like that. It was so neat.
And that's I think that was the best one of the little skits, just because I like the underwater thing. But anyway,
Dad had a Polynesian pearl, which comes in a plastic pearl, and behind the bar, there's a big clam that whenever somebody orders one, this thing opens up and out comes your drink.
Right. The bartender picks it up and says, "I just pulled a pearl out of a clam."
And then nobody said anything.
It was quiet. He goes, "Hey."
So he flipped the sign over and it says applause. And then everyone goes, "Oh, yay."
Yay, because pearls come out of
oysters,
not clams. And apparently one out of every 100, I think it is.
Yes.
Is actually a black pearl.
Yep.
Now again, this is a souvenir. This particular cup versus all the others, this one's plastic. Everything else is glass. Keep that in mind, glass or ceramic. But it's a delicious drink.
Yes.
I can't
it really
even begin
is.
To tell you what's in it. You could look it up.
Rum chata. That's
was
all
good.
I know.
And coconut. Really,
yeah. So when we order a hippopotami tai, okay, comes in this little tiki man glass. And
oh yeah,
it was a very good drink. You didn't hear that in the microphone.
Oh, I said, was that a good drink?
Yep.
By the way, sorry.
Yeah, it's a very good drink. It's like any other Mai Tai, but it was very not juicy, very rummy. And this is part of the thing. No, because I've had Mai Tais that are essentially just all juice. This is not.
Mine was definitely not juicy. We'll get to mine in a minute.
So when you order a hippopotami Tai, basically what they end up doing is running around with this little tinker toy kind of of hippopotamus. It's one of, like, I want to say...
It's a hippopotamus on wheels.
It is.
Pulled by a rope.
Right. And it's like a little kid's toy that you'd see in a woodworker's shop, you know? Mm. And so they're running around with it. Oh, who wants to adopt this baby hippopotamus? And then, you know...
They go, oh, you do! And they bring it to your table.
They bring it to your table. And then there's two flashes of red in the room. And they go, two shots of rum! Because on the ride, once again, you know, you're getting charged by the hippo. So they pick up the gun and they fire twice, you know...
To scare it
off. To scare it off. So it's two shots of rum. And... yeah, it's got it in there, I can tell you that.
Oh, yes, it was quite yummy.
And then Merwin ordered the...
I ordered the uh-oh-a.
Yes.
Uh-oh-a.
So tell them what you got to do.
Well, first of all, the drink was rather large. It comes in...
I recommend it for two people.
Yeah, and I drank the whole thing myself.
So I have I have to say that looking at it, it's easy to do to drink by yourself. It's just how well you can handle the strength of the
right.
of the drink. So just keep that in mind. You can have it, and they will give it to just you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it comes... I can only describe this thing as a bowl. I mean, it was very bowl-shaped. And
it was bowlish.
It was bowlish. And basically, Aoa is the goddess, I forget of what, but she's part of the Tiki Room thing again in Magic Kingdom. And when you anger the goddess Aoa, lightning flashes and it rains and, oh my goodness, and the wind. And they say, oh, you have to make a sacrifice and make appeases to the goddess. And the drink comes with sugar cubes on top of it. And they set them on fire.
She's the goddess of disaster.
Oh, there you go. Goddess of disaster.
Yep.
And on the glass, the cup that it comes in, there's three little scooped out bowls where they put cinnamon, and you're supposed to take the cinnamon and throw it on the sugar cubes and make spark and flame and all sorts of fun stuff.
Smells delicious, by the way.
It's really good. And then you're all supposed to chant the whole place. They get the whole place to go, uh-oh-a, 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 uh-oh-a. And
to appease the goddess.
Yeah, to appease the goddess.
That's
and
your
then,
sacrifice.
Right. And then... once she's appeased, you know, the wind dies down and then it goes back to being sunny, and they dunk the sugar cubes in the drink and it sweetens up the drink. It was fantastic. It was really, really good.
One of the waitresses was running around going, oh, we're not going to make it. She's going to destroy us. Oh, this is the end. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like the campiest thing you could think of. I don't want to give everything away. I don't.
No, because
there's a lot more that they do, including for the zombie drink and for... You know, the various other things.
The Krakatoa.
The Krakatoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give everything away. You can look them up if you want to, but the fact of the matter is, I don't want you to be able to expect everything, because the charm of this place is outstanding. You really need to make time to get there if drinks like this are your thing. there is a good price to them. Figure the drinks are probably up to about $15, maybe a little bit more, depending on whatever drink you can have.
With the souvenir glass, it's bumping up to 30, some of them, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, depending on...
I think mine was 40, so... But it was worth it.
It's definitely an experience.
You're paying for the experience, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we didn't leave there with a giant bill.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. And I could tell you what you're getting is quality, too. You know, they crafted these drinks with a lot of care. It's not just, you know, willy-nilly. There's a lot of theming and fun to it, but they're... doing what you want them
and we've
to do.
Talked about this before too. Disney does not skimp on the booze.
especially
in Epcot, when you it's all top shelf stuff, and also when you get a drink, you get a drink. You don't get, like Matt says, he's had drinks where it's more juice than alcohol. These are more alcohol than
never
juice.
In Disney.
Yeah, so yeah. You really don't get a bad deal on a drink at Disney.
It's funny. My father had a drink. I don't remember where. We had a drink in one of the places, and he, you know, I asked him how it was. He says it tastes nice, but it tastes like juice. But
what was that?
I don't remember. But here's the thing. He says it tastes like juice, but then he as he starts drinking, he's like, yeah, but it's not.
Oh, it was Ohana, wasn't it?
I don't remember. Okay. Honestly, I don't remember. But the fact of the matter is that they made the drink so well with good liquor that it blended so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it blends well. Just it doesn't. It's not harsh. So he's drinking. It's like, oh, it's just kind of tastes like, you know.
Then he's like, oh.
And it's like, oh, no. This is good. It's like, well, that's what a drink should be. You shouldn't just be tasting like turpentine. And so that's something Disney's great for. So let's see. I can't say everything positive about being over at Polynesian. We did have lunch because we ended up at Polynesian around like what, 1:30?
Because we wanted to. We thought we were going to go to Trader Sam's for lunch, but we didn't.
We miscalculated. Yeah. So we still needed food, so we decided, you know what, we had an extra quick serve because we had gotten there late one day. We were originally going to eat at Magic Kingdom a lunch, but we got there too late for that because of traffic and nonsense. So we figure, all right, let's just eat at Captain Cook's. And Captain Cook's, for those of you who may or may not know, was recently redone. We were last there in, what, 2014 was?
Mm-hmm. It was under construction at that point.
It was under construction right at that point, and had previously literally been a hole in the wall. It was a walk-up quick serve. You know, it's just, you order at the window and you get your thing and you go about your business. Now it is at an actual area where you can go sit, order, but it seemed a bit confused. Now, we had a quick serve at our resort. We had over at Jumbo House. At the Mara, okay, and it's set up very similarly, where, you know, you have your areas where you get the food, you drink, and the register is in the middle, the table's off to the side, and all that. So what one would figure is you get all your stuff, then you go over to the counter, and you pay, or use your quick serves, or whatever you're going to do, and then go sit and eat. Well, that is not how the cast member at Captain Cook's desired for this to happen. Okay, so we walk in, and what was it that happened first? We're looking around to see what we wanted, right? And we were confused.
They said your dessert and your drink first.
Go get your dessert and drink first. From the desserts were all up in the cooler, and there's bottled drinks in the cooler there as well. But we wanted fountain drinks, so we're looking around. We see the fountain drinks. They're off near the seating area. I'm like, okay. Okay, and then there's, where are the cups? So we go back to Leia's, like, okay, so you told us to go do this, but where are the cups for the drinks then? And she says,
oh, I have the cups.
Oh, I have the cups. Okay, that doesn't help us. So what do we do then? Okay, so you come over here and you order your food from me, and I give you a drink, and then they give you a buzzer, and you go and you sit and you wait for your buzzer to go off while you get your drink and you have your dessert. And your dessert starts to melt, and then
very weird.
And then when your buzzer goes off, you go back over to the food counter to get your cooked food. It was very confused, and I had the meatballs. I didn't care for them. The texture of them was displeasing to me. The flavor of them was lacking. I know, Marilyn, you thought they were okay.
I liked them. They were all right, you know.
But, you know, they were. Based on other Disney food experiences, this I have to give two thumbs down. I'm not doing that again. Never. So, you know, save your appetite for Trader Sam's. It'll be worth it. Really, really well worth it. So moving on from there, what else did we do? We're dragging this on now.
We're still
talking dining, but I think, all right, we're not going to talk about everything.
Those were the ones that stood out.
Those were the ones that stood out. Is there any other favorites?
My favorite was Skipper's Canteen and California Grill.
We did Sanaa. Bread service.
Yeah.
The bread service always stands out. It's always good.
The meal was very nice. It's always very thoughtfully prepared. The servers are fantastic.
We saw our server from 2014 at Sanaa.
Yeah.
And she remembered us.
So
that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Apparently she got her excellence.
She got her customer service award because of us from last time we were there.
Or at least contributed by.
Yes.
Yes. I'm not.
She was like,
"Oh,
I remember you guys." She's like, "That's right." She said when she got the award, they told her who recommended her, and she goes, "I remember that family because it was not just us. We had like two of my friends were there,
and then our friends,
other friends came, and it was about nine of us, I think, and it was a mixed group of people." And she's like, "I remember you guys," so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, I think those were definitely the highlights, and then the low point also of our dining experiences. The fact of the matter is, most places you're going to go in Disney, as long as it's food that are, you know, you're attuned to, you're going to enjoy.
Morimoto. We didn't talk about Morimoto.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Yeah. How could we forget?
The one last quick thing. Yeah.
It's because we already mentioned it. That's wise. Okay. So, first off, the theming is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I know Morimoto himself had a lot to do with it. He was a very hands-on guy, and he does actually prepare food at the restaurant every so often when he's in town. So you might be lucky one day and get to see.
Yeah, he just pops in whenever he's there. So
yeah, he's very, very hands-on with his staff and with the food. So you know, everyone should be so lucky. But the food itself, we ordered a very light lunch. I just had sushi roll, and it was phenomenal. Everything tasted so fresh, as it should. I mean, it's very artfully and skillfully put together. Des, you had a fried rice of some variety?
Chicken fried rice.
Chicken fried rice?
It was yummy.
Was it the best fried rice of your life?
Yep.
Easily?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Des knows her fried rice.
I'm very particular with my fried rice, and this was very, very, very good.
That's true.
To where I almost ate the whole bowl, and it was a big bowl.
Now, we do aim to get back there for a proper dinner sometime soon, yeah. So hopefully we can pull that off and we'll have a much better review. I mean, it's very hard to review a place on a single dish, but from what we've seen, it was very good, and you know, the staff was very nice, and the theming is wonderful. So
I had what's called duck nasi goreng, I think is what it's called, or I forget exactly, something goreng, nasi goreng, and it was duck fried rice with a heart or a sunny side up egg on the top, which I know people are like, ooh, gross, but if you cut up the egg and you put it, mix it in with the rice, it's so good. And they had little shrimp chips with it, which for those of you who've never had them, they're kind of the texture of what were those, oh gosh, they were in an orange bag, I don't know, they're really light and Funkos, are they? No, the Funkos is not.
That's
no, I can't remember the name of them. Oh my God,
are you talking about the little shrimp puffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get these at the Oriental store.
Yeah, no, but they're the consistency. There's like a bag of chips. It's an orange. It's Munchos. There it is, Munchos. Sorry, it's the consistency of those. Very
like
light.
Like Funyuns.
Are they Funyuns? Oh, okay.
Two different brands.
I never had Funyuns, so there we go.
You never had Funyuns?
I never had Funyuns.
And you went to college?
Believe that one,
we'll
yeah.
talk about this off air.
I don't like Funyuns.
So. No.
But it was so fantastic. Again, if you get the chance, go to Morimoto. If you are a big fan of Asian cuisine, you will find no other than this place.
Yeah. So we've been talking about dying for half an hour.
Oh, jeez. Can you tell what our favorite thing is?
Yeah, so let's move on to the next part that we decided to pull into today. We were lucky to receive complimentary tickets to the Disney After Hours party at Magic Kingdom. Now, interesting news is they have, since we've gotten back, wrapped up the final of those dates and have not extended this.
Yeah, for those of you who don't remember, this is the event where they were charging $150 a person for you to spend 3 hours past park closing at the Magic Kingdom.
11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Right, and go on anything you wanted that was open, as well as complimentary soda, water, and ice cream novelties, which is basically...
The ice cream carts.
Right, the carts, the Mickey bars, the ice cream
You get your
sandwiches.
Soda and ice cream from bottles from the carts, and your ice cream was the Mickey bars and frozen bananas and so on.
But the cool thing was you could take as much home as you wanted. They would give you whatever you wanted, so we're like, oh, okay. But honestly, there were supposed to be... Now, if I read this correctly, maybe I didn't. I read that there was supposed to be character meet and greets, and there was supposed to be...
Now, see, I didn't see that anywhere.
Well,
just
they still had some characters. They had the princesses, and then they had Mickey.
Right. Okay. Oh, right.
Now because it was complimentary, so I can't say nothing was worth it because we didn't have...
It was complimentary, right.
Yeah, it was complimentary. So we had a good time and made the most of it. But now, certain dates they had available toward the end there, I guess because they had poor sales, from what I understand, for DVC and annual pass members, or maybe it was just DVC members, I don't remember.
No, it was annual pass holders, too.
It was
correct, yes.
Half price. So instead of $150, it was $75.
Right.
For a ticket, which is, you know, as we said last time, is quite a bit. And so basically, most rides were open the whole time. So you can just walk on any ride you wanted multiple times. That's great. The shops?
One.
A couple shops were open. That's it. I mean, literally a couple.
Not even the Emporium.
Not even Emporium was open.
Not Big Top.
No, not Big Top. So it's just a couple of shops were open, and a couple of shops were only open simply because the ride exits. And they didn't even have the things for sale. The registers weren't open. It's like, okay, move on. So, you know, you lose your value there because a lot of times, I mean, it's great to do shopping at some of these after-time parties like when we gone to the not-so-scary party, which is, you know, a lot of fun. They have things open, of course, and so there's less people, especially in Emporium. You know, you can make your way through and get a lot of stuff done, especially at the end of your night. You get your stuff done, bring it back to the resort, and that's it, because we all bring, you know, souvenirs home for people. That's a great way to do it. So you didn't have that opportunity. As you know, all the treats, the way they made it sound, at least to me, was that they'd have like these tables set up kind of like at the dessert parties. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the dessert parties. We did see some of these dessert parties going on at a couple of the parks. And so, you know, they have these areas blocked off, and they have tables set up, and they present these desserts. So I thought, it would, you know, they're going to have, like, these ice cream stations where they have coolers and scooping ice cream and sundaes like that. But no, it's just literally, okay, here, have a Mickey bar, move on. So...
Yeah, you couldn't even go... Like, if you didn't want that, you couldn't even stop in and get a snack somewhere.
Yeah.
Casey's Corner was the only thing open... Which, I mean, if you want a hot dog, fine. But, you know, if you wanted to go to the confectionery or something, or like, we wanted to go to Big Top and get some treats, but...
Some spears.
Right, pineapple spears. We couldn't, you know, you couldn't even get that stuff, so...
Yeah, I mean,
it was kind of... It was very weird.
It was very oddly done, especially for the price that they had.
Yeah.
Because it cost more to do that than it does to do one of their specialized parties, including the not-so-scary and the Merry Christmas parties. That's including the current pricing, which we complained about last podcast.
Right.
So, you know, I could see why they discontinued it. So just to sum up my part of the review, I would not have paid full price. I would not have paid half price for that opportunity.
Nope.
As was described to me, however, to take a converse look, they have the morning party where they do breakfast and things. You have access to like three rides and whatnot. One of our friends had said, who's a listener, Lori, so shout out to Lori.
Hi, Lori.
She's probably giggling right now. You can stop. No, stop.
No, we'll wait. It's okay.
I'll wait. Okay, no, I'm just teasing. So anyway.
She's probably still going.
Yeah. So she had pointed out that the value for the morning is probably a lot more because you get into the park early, you have breakfast, you know, an actual meal, and then you also have access to some of the most popular populated rides. So you do not need to waste fast passes on those. You can use your fast passes for other things, get those tough rides out of the way early, and then move on with the rest of your day. Mm-hmm. And so looking at that with the price of the early morning one,
I think it's $79 or $75, mm-hmm. something like that.
I could look it up. But at any rate, it was a lot more worthwhile, and so I could get behind that. So having done this after hours party, I could see them not continuing it, or at least having to change it significantly for it to be viable. For what they presented, I'm sorry, it's not worth it.
Nope.
I
would not pay that amount of money to go to that because it was, yeah. I can't even say, because, I mean, you pretty much summed it up already. It was just pointless, I guess. It's like, here, let's stay up late to go on some rides and have some Mickey bars.
Oh, and by the way, I'm $150 poorer.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I don't know. So the early morning magic, let's see. I've got that up. That's the one that I'm saying.
Right.
Was worth... the price is $69 per adult, $59 per child.
Oh, I'm way off. Don't listen to me.
well, you know, it's not that way off. It's not that way off. But, you know, you have certain participating restaurants that are table service, which is not letting me click on. So I don't know. You guys can look this up. It's right on the Disney website. It's the early morning magic. If you want to look into something like that, do that. But here's another pro tip for you guys. When you're booking your reservations 180 days ahead, okay, and you have to do it then because this will fill up quickly, you can book your breakfast at Be Our Guest before park opening. We did this, and you know, you're not allowed to go on things. They have the back areas of the park closed, you know, with ropes and cast members waving at you like, hi, hi, yeah, you can't come this way, because they know where you're going. But you can do that to get in early, and that way you're in the park, you're in the back of the park, you're in Fantasyland, new Fantasyland, and then as soon as you're done, you could go jump on Mine Train or something.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to get in. They have all the photo spots set up so you could get your pictures done, whether you're using you know, their photo pass or your own camera or something, because any of the cast members will use your camera for you anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a great way to get awesome family pictures.
Also, it's a good time to see the old-time vehicles. They have the horse-drawn trolley out at that time. They have the omnibus out. They have that fire truck. All the things that when it gets too crowded, they can't do because they'll run people over. and somebody will complain.
That's generally frowned upon.
Yes. So we got the chance to see the horse pull the trolley, and we got a chance to see, you know, the double-decker bus. It was fun. So
yeah.
It's a nice time to go in. It's nice and kind of peaceful in there before everything
comes. That was quite the experience.
Nice.
Now, actually, that was one of my favorite meals, I have to admit.
Be Our Guest it's great.
The food was fantastic, you know, for being a quick serve.
For being a quick serve and for a breakfast.
Right.
It's great. I mean, the bakery pastries were great. They have allergy menus, by the way. So when you're looking at things, if you have allergies or sensitivities, the food there is great. Des got no egg menu because she has certain sensitivities regarding eggs. She can have things with egg in them, but most of the breakfasts that they give you are just egg based. You know, eggs Florentine, things like that. So she ended up with the egg-free, you know, allergy-sensitive waffles. They're not Mickey waffles, but...
Bummer. But that's okay.
But they were very, very good.
They were very good. And they also gave me my own little plate of pastries, because...
Also egg-free.
Yeah, because the pastries that are for the table have egg in them, so...
Right. And they were also good. I tasted. They were
very
fantastic.
Good.
And each dish comes with a bowl of fresh fruit. The fruit was fantastic, again, but it's Florida, so of course it's going to be.
It better be.
it was just a really nice... experience, and if anyone is thinking about doing that, like Matt said, I would go for it, because like you said, you get into the park when it's quiet, you end up right in the middle of New Fantasyland when you come out, and before the crowd gets there, you can jump in line for Little Mermaid, you can jump in line for the Mine Train.
Make sure you say hi to the DVC people that are over
there.
Yes,
say hi to Kyle and Nicole. Hi, yep. Kyle and Nicole. it's a really nice way to start your day, and the food is fantastic food, so...
Yeah. Now, I mean, as far as after hours goes, the only other things that were neat about it was when we got there, again, for this particular party, we managed to get a really great spot on top of the the railroad station to film the electric parade.
Yeah.
And so that was really great. We got to see, we had missed Wishes coming in, but we got to see the castle show.
Celebrate the Magic. You're right.
Yeah, I'm biting my own tongue here. I'm just like, I need water. Anyway, so that was really great. And then of course, as we're making our way out, we're like half dead, delirious. We ran into video bloggers Tom and Sophie.
Oh, Tom and Sophie from the UK.
From the UK. Those lucky ducks were staying at Disney for like 2 weeks or something like that. So, it was really great. Running into them, and actually it's funny too, because we had just missed them apparently from their Twitter. We had done breakfast over in Animal Kingdom one day at Tusker House, which by the way is another great way to get into the park early. Do it. The breakfast was great there as well, and it's a nice character meal. But anyway, they had done that as well, and they were at Animal Kingdom. We missed each other in passing probably the entire day. They're probably on one side of the park, we're at the other, and then I don't know, but it was really nice meeting them. If you are not familiar with them, go on to Twitter and search for Tom and Sophie. It's at Tom and Sophie.
I think it's Tom and Sophie 1.
Yeah.
Number 1.
Yeah, it is Tom and Sophie 1.
Yeah. You'll know them when you see them. You really can't miss
nicest
the
nicest people
the picture.
You ever want to meet. So.
So definitely check out their vlogs. They're great and they're nice people. And, you know, we hope we run into you guys again soon. So nice little shout out to you guys.
We're still looking for the elusive trackers.
Yeah, well.
But.
They were on property according to their Twitter. And we were just not where we were, so.
Yeah.
So shame on you, Tim and Jen.
And one more shout out to my lovely pixie dust chicks, Susan and Shawnee. Thank you for coming to Epcot to hang out with us.
It was so nice meeting you.
It was so great to see you guys again. I love seeing you every time I'm there, and we'll see you again sometime soon.
And how would one find...
They have a website, thepixiedustchicks.com, where they have a blog, and they are so crafty. They make all kinds of Disney-bounding clothing and costuming, and they are fantastic people. You can also find them on Twitter at thepixiedustchicks, and I believe on Facebook at thepixiedustchicks. So look for them as well.
One thing, if you've come this far and listening to Disney podcasts, we're probably not the first ones you've listened to, I would think, because we're still new on the scene. But for those of you who are otherwise unfamiliar, there's definitely this big Disney happy family of those of us who just can't stop talking about Disney because it's our happy spot, and we would love for you to join in the family, listen to them, watch their podcasts and blogs and things, listen to their podcasts, watch their blogs, because you learn a lot of great things and you meet a lot of great people.
You meet a lot of great people.
Yeah.
And you become, it's funny, you know, it sounds cliche, but you really do become kind of a family. And, you know, it's people who share your passion and who understand, you know, the inside jokes and the things that you talk about. And it's really a lot of fun. You meet a lot of great friends.
Yeah. So our final thing that we designated to do today is our resort review. We're going to specifically review having stayed at Kidani Village at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Now, the first thing to note, again, this is the DVC side, so it's a little smaller, a little quieter. They have Johari Treasures, which is the small store, and it's, you know, very need to have stuff. It, you know, it's not big like the other store over in Jumbo House, where it's big and cavernous, and you can get every souvenir under the sun. There's a few things, the most popular things there. You get any of the things that you need to have at any of the resort stores, including, you know, certain over-the-counter medications, Band-Aids. At one point, I needed to buy a pack of safety pins, you know, to get rid of those pesky walking blisters, which made the time so much better, trust me, to get rid of that. You know, of course, your general beverages and adult beverages are available there, you know, for your room. You want to buy a bottle of wine, things like that.
All kinds of snacks, food, yeah, the cereal. Snacks,
that is also where you would pick up your dining plan cups, you know, your refillable mugs, mm-hmm. and also where you would, hence, refill it at that particular part of the resort. Now, walking in, of course, is a big, big treat to either Jumbo House or
Kidani. It's a beautiful
Kidani.
Resort.
It's gorgeous. the theming, again, is impeccable. Really, make sure during the daytime when the sun is coming in, because most of this resort is designed around natural lighting. That's both for the theming and for the comfort of the animals. So a lot of people actually complain that the lighting in the resort is not sufficient for them. But the fact of the matter is this is to prevent a lot of light pollution affecting the sleep patterns of the animals. So if you keep that in mind, that's part of the reason why you're staying at the resort. So that's important. But so when you walk in and it's bright daylight, look up at all the gorgeous thatching. So many people miss this. You just need to stop and take it all in.
My favorite part about the Kidani Lodge, Kidani Village lobby in particular, is when you walk in, they have these gorgeous light fixtures which are made out of glass, and they look like fire. Oh, they're so beautiful. And now, those of you who have been over to Jumbo House, you know the cavernous big lobby over there with the shields and everything that hang on the walls. But the Kidani is so, like Matt said, it's quieter, it's smaller, it's just much more peaceful. And I think it's absolutely beautiful with the artwork that they have on the walls. And basically, like I said, these and out the back, they have this really huge, the whole back is all glass, so you can look out onto the savannah, see the animals roaming around. It's absolutely wonderful. The artwork, again, in the hallways, as you go down the hallways, they have different exhibits on the walls and in glass cases.
Oh yeah, you definitely have to make time to look at those because they're authentic pieces of work, of art. In fact, I noticed at one point on our floor, we're on the fifth floor, there was one piece of art that had taken down. It's just like a museum that had a little sign up, this piece removed for restoration and preservation. Right. So it's like a museum.
Yeah, and it's absolutely, and the rooms are, they're very spacious. They're a lot like the villas at Boardwalk or Beach Club if you've been over there. Very, you know, they have a full kitchen, fridge, dishwasher, sink, oven, stove. There are, we stayed in a two-bedroom villa, so again, those of you who are familiar with the two-bedroom setup, one room has a king bed with a full bathroom, shower, and a tub, and the others has two queen beds with, again, another bathroom, shower. And but what's nice about the two bedrooms here at Kidani is they have a third bathroom. So if you have a party of, you know, three or more people and you all suddenly have to go to the bathroom at the same time, you can.
Yeah, that's an important distinction between the two bedroom at Kidani versus Jumbo House. Is you get that extra bathroom.
It was actually one of the reasons why we picked it.
Yeah. Now,
and it did come in handy.
It certainly did. Now, one of the things that I was, I can't say displeased or unhappy with, but was just kind of grueling, the walk back to the room. Now, we understood that this was, it's a very long hallway. We understood this going in, and I'm okay with that. But the thing is, with the long walk and the narrow hallway, at the end of a long, weary day, I swear I was prepared to see like the two little girls from The Shining pop out.
Go, oh my God, I know.
Come play with me.
Come play with us, Denny.
Because it's dim, again, because the lighting, I mean, it's not like, oh my God, I can't see, but it's dim. You know, instead of like 60 watt equivalent bulbs, they have maybe 30, 40 watt equivalent bulbs. It's dimmer. And you have these long, narrow hallways. So it got a bit much. The content of the hallways, I mean, they have nice things up on them. Make sure you look at the shields are all unique on the doors. The drums covering the lamps, don't touch them, sure they're hot. But they look very nice. The wallpaper and the carpets need updating, but they know that. They're currently working on soft goods update over at Jumbo, and I think that then they're going to be switching over to Kidani. So that I look forward to seeing what they do with that. But there's lots and lots of hidden Mickeys.
Yes, tons of hidden Mickeys.
All over the floor.
So that's, yeah. Some of the carvings and things that are in things. So make sure, you know, take time to appreciate that. The room itself, if you've ever stayed in DVC accommodations, there's no second to it. I mean, it's great.
The funny thing, too, is every morning...
The cranes.
Every morning, we're walking up to the... I don't know what you call it. I don't want to call it shrieking because that's kind of not the right term.
No,
but
just the cawing of
the cranes.
The cranes. And to spare your ears, I'm not going to mimic it here.
No. We'll blow out your speakers.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing was there was an obnoxious child staying in one of the suites near us. Des and I went outside to greet the morning with the cranes who were calling because this was the first time we heard them.
Yeah, it was on the balcony.
And some obnoxious child was screaming back at them. And, I don't understand parents who just let their kids do this. Because it's not the only time I heard children screaming at the animals. I'm like, really? Screaming at the animals. Now, you should be teaching your kids to respect the animals and enjoy them in a nice setting like that. I mean, they're leaning over the rails and screaming at them. I was like, wow. But it didn't happen often, okay, and it didn't ruin most things, thankfully. But it was really nice. We had a standard view room, so we didn't have a long ways view across the savannah.
No, but the animals still came back there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So basically, for those of you who are wondering, a standard view room includes a view of the pool, parking lot, or pavement is basically what they say. So that doesn't mean you're not going to see savannah, okay? For instance, our room was facing north. We're toward the end of the north building, okay? And basically, that's where, if you were to look off to your left from our balcony, you could see the animal care areas. They had some pens way off there. There was a Jeep trail where they you know, used...
Bring the food in and stuff.
Bring the food, and they had, like, the backstage safari-type stuff going on, and or whatever they call it. Whatever they feel like calling it at the particular time.
They changed the name so much.
You know, so there's the little, you know, access road, which is fun because you get to see the safari vehicles and cast members, and you get to see, you know, some of the animals that are in their care pens way back in that corner. And meanwhile, you still have a little piece of savannah in front of you, which the cranes loved to go to. We had all various animals. We had some of the okapis come over, and we saw zebras, and you know, we saw a lot of everything. The only thing that didn't come over to that little area was a giraffe, which...
And the cattle.
But the cattle were on the other side of the fence, next to our stretch of the savannah. But I think they keep them separate from certain areas for a reason. I think definitely for giraffe, because giraffe could, like, I don't know, stick his neck out into the wild area beyond the fence and maybe eat some wild plant they shouldn't, or... you know, get in the way of the truck or something.
It's all for their safety. So.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Everything's designed for their safety. If you look really closely, they do have certain ways that they keep the animals away from getting right up to the building. They have, like, these I want to say spike strips, but they're not spikes in terms of like, poking the animals. They're just protrusions that the animals don't like to step over. And so that just keeps them away from areas they don't want them to walk over to, because they don't like stepping over things, because they feel like they might trip. It's very, very unobtrusive toward the landscaping, and very effective with the animal management. And they've really put a lot of thought into it, and it's great.
And finally, what's nice about, you can go out at night. At night they have, if you go out the back of the building, out the lobby, they have a campfire that they put up every night, and you can sit around it. They have nice rocking chairs out there, and they have a guide out there every night who hands out night vision goggles, and you can go out and look at the animals at night. It was really funny, too, because I was there with, and it was dark. I mean, you know, you have the light from the fire, and like Matt said, it's all natural lighting, so the lighting's very low. Because they don't want to affect, you know, the animals' sleep cycles or whatever. So
right. At brightest, it's like a full moon.
Right. And so I was saying, you know, there was a little girl there with her family. Nice family. And she's like, oh, Daddy, you know, do you see anything? He goes, I don't know. What do you see? And the guide came over and said, oh, I think there's a giraffe somewhere over there. And he pointed in the rough direction. And, of course, it's dark, so you can't see. So, but you put the goggles up, and... there was literally a giraffe right in front of us. It was like, oh my god. It was one of those, oh hi. And it was really, really neat. And you watch them walk around and eat the, you know, leaves and stuff. And you can see I saw there was a bunch of wildebeest walking around. It was just really neat. But it's funny. You take the goggles down, you can't see anything. And all of a sudden, you know, boom, they're right there. So that's a really fun thing to do. And that's actually very peaceful too. Because when I was out there, the family that I was, they had two daughters. And one was the younger daughter with the father looking at the animals, and the other daughter was just sitting there singing, and she had the most lovely voice, and she was just singing, you know, songs, and it was just so peaceful. And I just sat there, and I'm like, it was just a moment of total peace right then. It was really nice. So it's a very relaxing sort of place.
Yeah. So of course you have good dining option in the resorts. You have Sanaa downstairs.
One of our favorites.
Yes, definitely one of our favorites. So and then there's this lounge, the Sanaa Lounge. So if you don't feel like, you know, going, getting reservations, eating a full thing, you can get food in the lounge. And
you can also get a drink and take it back to your room.
Yes, you can get a drink and take it back to your room. So that's very good information. You can walk from Kidani to Jumbo or vice versa. But every 5 minutes, there is a resort shuttle. Or you can get on one of the park buses to get over to the other. I forget which one's which, so make sure you read the signs or ask cast members, because some go just right out to the parks and others stop at Jumbo and vice versa, so that way there's inter-resort transportation in addition to the shuttles as well.
If you wanted to walk between them, it's about a 10-15 minute walk. So
yeah, depending on where you're starting from.
Right. lobby to lobby, it's about 15 minutes.
Yeah. So there's that. And then over in Jumbo, you know, you have the Mars, your quick serve. You have Jiko, which is a signature dining, which is another real top of the list place. You have Victoria Falls, which is their lounge, which is beautiful, I might say. And then you have...
Mara, Jiko, and Boma.
Boma, that's it. Thank you. Boma, which is their buffet eating, which is also actually probably one of the top buffets.
Mm-hmm. On property. Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's a lot of dining options. The pools. We didn't go to Jumbo's pool. We stayed over at the Kidani pool. I have to say, from everything I had seen, pictures, videos, previews, it looks bigger on video than it is in person. But that's not to say it was crowded. There were a lot of people, but there was still quite a bit of personal space to get your swimming in. And there's a poolside bar, of course. And not only can you get a drink from the bar, they did have a cast member waitress walking around taking drink orders and food, certain food items, and bringing them to you over at your poolside spot. So that was very nice. I had a pina colada, and it was delicious.
I can't wait. I need to try one of them.
It was very good. Yeah, it was very, very good. I don't remember what you had, Des, but...
I don't remember what I had either, but it was yummy.
It was good, and it was gone.
It was gone.
It was gone. And a Mickey
and
waffle.
And I had a pretzel.
No, pretzel. But, you know,
a Mickey pretzel with cheese.
Right. I'm so used to saying waffle.
With cheese.
With cheese. That makes all the difference.
It does.
But it's still not the normal hot cheese.
No, but
something. They have cheese cups now. They're not the same.
Yeah, they're not the same. And there's also a slide, which, of course, I did...
Yeah, there is a slide. It's actually one of the better slides because there's a lot of twists and turns in it.
Yeah, it was all twisty and turny, and it was fun. It wasn't just a straight up and down kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was neat. And there was this little girl that was there, and she was so polite because it takes me a while to get upstairs because I have a bad knee. And so it took me a little bit.
Bad. It's bad.
And so this little girl, I stopped a second just because there's like a sign or something I wanted to read. And she goes, oh, are you going up to the slide? And I was like, yeah. I was like, you'll go ahead. It's going to take me longer. And so she goes up, and then by the time I get to the top of the slide, she's still standing there waiting to go. And she's like, did you want your spot back?
Oh.
And I was like, no, cute. You go ahead. So it was nice.
That's cute. Some people raise their kids right. I like that.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful resort. I wouldn't say that the pool is a great place to go and chill and relax if you like quiet time, because it's not loud. It's not quiet because it's a communal pool, of course. There's other DVC style resorts that have more quiet areas. OQS being one, they have more private quiet mm-hmm. pools, specifically the quiet pools. But there is, a hot tub, two actually, in fact, over at Kidani. And there's the little kid splash play area, whatever they call that. I forget. Samwati Springs, I think was. And the zero depth entry pool, so if you need a shallow depth entry for whatever reason, disabilities or just because
you don't like ladders or stairs getting out of a pool,
yeah. So you have that option, and the lifeguards are extremely attentive from what I saw. I mean, they're like militaristic in their pacing, not in any other fashion, but in their pacing, because they're literally on like specific duty. They guard from like this point to that point and then back, and they just keep walking back and forth so that they not just kind of zoning out. They're specifically guarding a very specific area of the pool, and each one is dividing it up,
and they never take their eyes off the pool.
No
at all.
Exactly. I mean, you can't have anything in their walking path. And then because they're very, very attentive. So it's great if you have some worries about that. So all in all, I think this is definitely a wonderful, wonderful place to stay. Everyone should try it at least once. Either Jumbo or Kidani, it depends on what you're able to do, or if you're DVC, definitely go over Kidani. If you're paying cash or something, it depends on what your budget allows you to do, because there's certain differences in the rooms regarding that. But it is a really nice place, and just being able to sit out and watch the animals, and even if you don't have a great view of the savannah, you go to one of the various viewing areas, lounges and such, and watch the animals. It's great. It's really relaxing. Merwin, you have anything to add on that?
Nope, we covered it. That's pretty much everything.
All right, yeah. So we'll pick up again on our next episode, which we'll try and get out to you next week, all depending on how our regular life schedule goes, of course, because unfortunately we can't spend every waking moment talking about Disney, although we certainly could fill that time.
We could.
Yep. So, once again, if you guys are interested in contacting us, you have any comments or questions, you want to have something read out on the air, and we'll be happy to answer it, make sure you contact us. You can reach us by email at yensidsbroomcloset@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at yensidsbroom, and we are on Facebook. Just search for Yensid's Broom Closet. You can also listen to our podcast. We're hosted on Podomatic. We're also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and now Google Play. Probably a couple others in there as well that, you know, pick up the podcast lists, although those are the main ones that I personally submitted us to, so I know we're there.
Also, if you're thinking about a Disney trip in your near future, I can help you with that. I am an authorized Disney vacation planner. If you have any questions or anything at all that you want to learn about Disney, any Disney destination, I can help you, and my services are 100% free to you. You can contact me at Merwin@MickeyTravels.com or go on Facebook, and again, just search Mickey Travels and just put in Merwin, MeriWyn, and you'll find me.
Why? Because we like
because
you.
Because we like you.
And now it's time to say goodbye. Okay, no, I'm not going to do that. All right, guys, it's been real fun. Thank you for listening to Jensen's Broom Closet. This has been episode 9, and we will see you when we see you.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
¶¶